So we're going to start with item K3. And that would be for the report on the special district financing and administration on the analysis of the current status of funding obligation of community facilities districts numbers 1 through 6, number 8, number 9A, 9B, and number 10 through 20. We have a speaker on that. Would you like to come forward? Ms. Michael?
Thank you, President Hall. I'd like to introduce Barbara Hale Carter, our special tax consultant, who will give the board the report.
Thank you. Welcome, Ms. Hale Carter.
Thank you. Good evening, President Hall, board members, superintendent, team, staff. My name is Barbara Hale Carter. I'm a consultant to the district providing services as special tax administrator and Community Facilities District Consultant. Tonight, I'm presenting an update to the status of funding of a CFD's obligation and an overview of setting the tax rates for fiscal year 18-19.
Excuse me, could you pull the microphone over to you a little bit? Sorry, thank you. That's better.
I'm going to try. Is that better?
That's better.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's all right.
It's the height. As a reminder, the resolution will be presented to set the tax rates at the next board meeting on July 23rd. This is simply an overview of the funding obligation and just a reminder of how the tax rates are set or some of the key components of setting them. Please feel free to stop me at any time as I go through this. I don't want to get too far and have anyone be confused as I go along. And the steps that are done or the calculations that are made are the same as have been done for the last 2 years. And if anything has changed or status is updated, we'll certainly point that out as we move along. Starting from the beginning, we wanted to remind the board that the annual administrative cycle is something that happens all year long. We're looking at the top left quadrant, establishing the tax rates of June through July. But as you can see, in each of the quarters, there are key things that are happening here at the district. Paying debt service and doing state reporting. Updating annual expenditure reports. Again, paying debt service and finally continuing disclosure reports. And then circling back to establishing the tax rates. This next slide highlights important facts or changes that have occurred in the last year. First, we want to point out that last fiscal year, 17-18, was the last year of the special tax levy for CFD number 2. Each of the properties within the CFD has paid for the full term of the special tax. At the July 23rd board meeting, a resolution will be presented and the first reading of an ordinance will be presented, which will end the CFD and request related actions be taken to remove the special tax levy from the properties. Secondly, new building permit activity. I want to point out that your CFDs, the term of the tax is June 30th. All of that information has not been analyzed. That's why we have an estimate here. We still have June 30th just happened. I still need to get building permit reports from the cities. But we have an estimated over 1,300 dwelling units through May of 2018. We've also collected prepayments from 2 apartment projects, several individual prepayments, and the district staff has begun negotiating with Home Fed regarding the next possible CFD, which would be CFD 21. This is an overview of the CFDs. It shows you the taxable units in 17-18, the projected units in 18-19, and the differences. This slide just lets you know where your district is growing, and it also shows the units that are falling off. That's the term we use when they've ended their life, they have paid for the term of their taxes. This slide is to point out that here at the district, we have a choice when we form a CFD. And when you establish a CFD, you have the choice of either setting the tax at a flat rate or setting the initial rate at a lower rate and allowing for an annual adjustment to the tax rates. Table on the right hand shows that, for example, if I just use a 25-year term, that if I allow the taxes to be adjusted by 2% annually, the initial tax rate would be 24.10. An average tax rate for the life of the 25-year term would be a little over $3,000, as opposed to setting the tax rate on year one at almost close to $3,000 to start. Each of the CFDs has its own rate and method of apportionment. The term is called an RMA, and each of the CFDs within the district was established with an annual adjustment. This is an overview of the methodology we use to update the obligation of the CFDs and to determine the tax rate requirement. The first step is that we look at the new construction obligation, we look at the obligation, the set in seats, we look at how many seats were funded, either by debt or by a term that we've coined here as PAYGO. PAYGO is cash out of the funds of each CFD, each held separately, but out of their fund. The second evaluation is to what's termed capital projects that extend the useful life. That is a mouthful to say the word modernization. I will continue to use the word modernization, but that term is coined because it's how we tie what we do back to the mitigation agreements that we act under. And finally, we take the unfunded portion of both new construction and modernization, and we compare it to what is in the accounts today and show if there is any obligation remaining. Each of the next slides will simply and quickly pass through the methodology and an example. This first one is the methodology for setting the new construction obligation. It's based on the number of dwelling units in a CFD, and this year I chose CFD number 4. It shows the different types of homes in the CFD. I hope you can read it with a line there, but it has the attached and apartment home. And we multiply those homes by a student generation rate. Earlier this year, that student generation rate study was updated. So those numbers are updated for this year. Multiplying those, we come up with a projected number of students by housing type, and adding them together, we have the total seat obligation, or the new construction obligation, for CFD number 4 in seats. Here we're looking at an example of how that new seat obligation is funded. We've chosen Eastlake High School as an example. Eastlake High School was funded through the issuance of debt. A portion of the debt has been paid off, so we've paid the principal on only a portion of the debt outstanding. There's a small amount of debt still outstanding to pay off what's owed in bonds to fund Eastlake High School. Secondly, we show what's been funded through PAYGO. We come up with a total, and we show the total percentage funded and unfunded, or paid and outstanding, in percentages and in seats. This is a snapshot of every CFD. It shows the projected middle and high school students. It shows the projected funded seats in both middle school and high school, and it shows the unfunded seats at the middle school and high school level. Those unfunded seats are then turned into an unfunded seat obligation in dollars. I want to point out that these dollars take into account all actuals through 16-17. They take into account estimated actuals for 17-18, and they take into account the projected payments through 18-19. Here, we look at the methodology of funding modernization. This shows that at the middle school and high school level, the math that we do, or the steps that we've taken to determine the cost to fund modernization for each of the school levels. This year, the estimate of cost was updated, but the methodology remains the same. We remove the non-reoccurring costs, such as the site. We don't have to buy the site again. And we have a net cost. We use the state-driven factor of 50% for modernization. divide by the design capacity, and we come up with a cost per student to fund modernization.